2005 college training in Montreal, Canada, with Brother Titus Chu. David, the man after God's heart. Message 6.
We come to message 5. Before we come to that, let me see a few more things to just because of your testing to make it more clear. Number one, consider the matter of being chosen. You really should come to, I believe it's Ephesians 1, am I right? Now then you will have a better idea what does it mean. If you can turn to New Testament in Ephesians chapter 1. Chapter 1 is said in this way. It says, I have it, thank you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, right? Maybe verse 3. Blessed be the God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. Amen. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. In other words, before anything come into existence, we were already chosen. Amen. Am I right? And more than that, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love. So the chosen was the fact that we will be saved. Then, having predestined us unto sonship by Jesus Christ to himself. In this chosen, there is the predestination. You know, we were chosen. Then in this chosen, there's a predestination. For instance, I choose you. Choose you for what? Do you get my point or not? We were in a Taiwan university, as I told you. All my schoolmates, they are top. Their English words are top notch. Am I right? They're top people. But there's no predestination. The school just pass on classes and whatever, that's it. B. So eventually, in the whole class, out of 180, not many really have any contribution, even to the society. Don't talk about to the Lord. Do you get my point? But remember that we were chosen with a predestination. I choose you because I desire you to be just as the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he says predestinate unto sonship. And second, what is what we yesterday shared? Being filled, right? Being filled. Oh, anointed. What is anointed? Maybe I just give you a simple thought. Anointing, the experience of the anointing in full, come by two ways, either in feeling or the outpouring. Either you pray to the extent you are filled in spirit. I encourage you, brothers, in small teams, strongly to practice this. In the afternoon, when you brother, sister, together, spend more time to pray rather than go over my message. All what you have to do is select 5, 6. Let them spend more time prepare. Do the review. You, brother, should pray a lot. By yourself, you confess your sin. Together, you shouldn't do that overly in detail. You just have to say, Lord, cleanse us. Cover with your precious blood. Then sing a song. Then sing a chorus. Then pray more. Until what? Until your spirit elevate. Your spirit elevate to the extent you are filled in spirit. You know, by one person, it may be hard. By 7, 8, how many each team now? Yeah, even 12 is too big. So if 12 has 2 leaders, you better divide into 6. By 7, 8, that's the right team. Actually, you do have about 15 serving ones, serving about 150. So it's about 10, okay? So it's not adequate. Anyway, brother, I strongly encourage you, brother, in these few days, in the morning time, in the evening time, pray. You know too much. I passed by this morning by looking for the outline. I realized the brother were ministering, help you, possible to touch the Lord. I don't despise that. I appreciate that. But at the same time, brother, no matter how people teach you, you got to practice it. In the afternoon, in the morning, in groups, spend more time to pray, to touch the Lord, to touch the Lord's presence. Then go over and discussing the messages. Then thirdly, what is a testing? Yesterday, I didn't possibly made it clear. Testing mainly are on two things. Number one, the testing of your purity. Number two, the testing of your logic, of your thought. You know, brother, men live before God according to purity. Amen. Men live, exist among men according to logic. Amen. Do you understand what I say? You can't get away from it. Before God, how pure you are, decide how much you can grow, how much you can understand spiritual things. And among men, your logic decide the manner of life and decide that how you live your life and how you operate in your life. This all relates to your logic or to your, if I use another word which I don't like, the view of life. Your view of life, actually that's your logic. What kind of logic you have? For instance, the sister gave the testimony, which, I mean, she's very genuine. You can see that she's from a little town, Sydney, right? If she's from big town, she will never give a testimony like this. She's very genuine.
Brother, it was me. No.
She. That sister testified how she's beautiful. Isn't she from sister? Sydney?
I was from Sydney.
The sister's also.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Pardon? Lima. Oh, okay. So whatever. You know, sister, you're from Lima. That reminds me, you know, one novel. I like to read novels. One novel has a statement. What's interesting, the writer's sister made up and began to ask her, says, how do I look? And the writer answered, oh, fine. Then she commented. He commented. She looked just like all the other girls. You know, sister, don't try too hard. You all look alike. Someone says, I'm beautiful. Yeah, you are. Someone says, I'm beautiful. Yeah, you are. I says, I'm ugly. No, not one lady is ugly. They're all the same. They are beautiful. So present yourself with virtues rather than how do I look. Do you get my point or not? A virtuous lady. But remember, this is your logic. You know, first become armor bearer, right? That test his purity. How pure. The playing harp tests her purity. Because if she realized, I can keep on provoking Samuel keep on getting possessed by demon. Saul will keep on possessed by demon. Yeah, every time David made the victory, and Saul got possessed by demon. Because Saul was so jealous, that jealous opened himself wide open for demon to come in. So I tell you, the best way for David to kill Saul is keep on going to gain victories. And he will be so mad all the time, eventually his madness will kill himself. He didn't do it. She really is very pure. He's God's anointed. So if God anointed him, God is responsible for him. Do you get my point? God is responsible for his existence, for his function, because God has anointed him. Oh, this is not an easy lesson. I'm in the church life 50 years. I see right, I see wrong, I see good things, I see things unpleasant. But the Lord has given me a kind of faithfulness, at least in the first 45 years. I realized I can never touch whatever the Lord has done. I should stand firmly with what the Lord has done. Whether I like it, I don't like it, that's not the issue. Brother, that's not an easy learning. Then, secondly, the test of your logic. You know, he carried the armor for Saul. you know, who can use his armor? Armory. He. So, you see, eventually Saul didn't fight at all. Saul only knew how to kill him and didn't make it either. There's no record of Saul. I mean, in the beginning he did. But later, right after he fell, there's no record of his. There's a record of his fighting. But there's no record of how he overcome. It's all David. So David says, I'm carrying his armor. And he, Chinese will call this, like a candle. In other words, it to be burned anyway. It's not solid at all. Soft. Going to be burned. I'm the real one. But his logic was so right. That logic is not easy. The logic is God anointed him. Therefore, I stand with him. But I would be wise enough, prudent enough, not let him kill me. Some people will say, I'm wise enough. Come on, kill me. I trust in God. You really get killed because you're stupid. You know your logic? You know your logic? You know what problem with us all here? In this room, we all have our logics. And majority of our logic, I would call the funny logic, interest logic, satanic logic, devilish, but anyway, real world logic. Your logic, you know, when you will grow up, people train you with a certain kind of logic. And you live in that logic. And you didn't realize, no, that logic is not healthy at all. Do you get my point or not? When you get a university, what's your major? One of my brother, his major is mine. Mine, he got into it, he says. Mining? You know, for the things underground. It's all from now on. My one hand would hold mine. Mine, huh? Another hand would hold fame and fortune. He's stupid to the uttermost. That's why I don't know where he is today. He's no good. Why? But that's common man's logic. I'm good at it. I even earn Westinghouse reward. So what? Every year somebody win it. So what makes you so peculiar? My daughter was in Princeton. Her roommate is a home study. So there's no way even for her to be accepted by, you know, home study is not good, accepted by any of the good universities. But she went to Westinghouse. She went West because of Westinghouse rewards. She got accepted by Princeton. You know, I look at her. I use that Oscar's word, right? She looks just like all the other girls. Do you get my points? But the human mind, oh, if I can make this, if I can make that, like your young sister, I really like her. I really like that young sister. The first day she was here, and I like her testimony. What do you want on me? I've done everything. I'm in the best university already. This is your logic. Do you get my point or not? Oh, my father wants me to be what? My father wants me to be what? Or I should be what? Or I need to be what? This is all your logic. Your logic decides your existence. Do you understand what I say? No, young girl. Do you understand what I say? What's your logic? Look like you're a bright girl. What's your logic? All Chinese girls are bright. All American girls are bright and lovely, so don't be bothered. You add one more item. What's your logic? I'm afraid it's about the same as all the other Chinese girls we study. We study hard. We're a good student. We'll be superior in math. Because Americans don't count 1, 2, 3. I mean, they use a machine to... Do you realize? For instance, something you buy is $8.50. So $1.50 is very simple, right? And they're stupid enough, get the money, $8.75, $9.10. I look at this. Are you nuts? Just put $1.50 in my hand, it's over, right? And it's $8.50, it's $1.90, it's easy. I mean, if you get something $6.25 or $6.27, you come here. 6.30, 3 pennies, right? 6.40, another dime. 6.50, another. 6.75, another. 7, right? Then 8, 9, 10. I look at him. No wonder Americans are not good at math. Just look at the way you were trained. But remember, though, the mathematicians who won Nobel Prize are Americans. But remember that, brother. Your logic decides your life. Let me ask you, what is your logic? How can you say, I'm one with God? You're one with God is when your logic is one with God.
Amen.
God thinking this way, I think in this way. God desires that we say this way, I desire this way. God is after this, I'm after this. Look, my logic is one with God, then everything is fine. Okay, now we come to message 5. The title is good. The needed persecutions. So he got, now he began to be persecuted, right? The needed persecutions for God to mature a man. Without this persecution, it's hard for you to become mature. You even can be a good preacher, but hard for you to be mature in life. The needed persecutions for God to mature a man who can be after God's own heart. Number one. Which is necessary, and joining the manifestation. Remember that every servant of the Lord, there must be a period you enjoy the manifestation. If you never have it, there's not enough background to sustain you to go through the hard times. So you should be burdened with preach gospel. You should become fruitful. You should minister in the meetings. Saints should appreciate you. The elders should look at you as if you were the future of that particular local church. Brother, all these are the manifestations. Firstly, testified by the woman, came to welcome King Saul and David with joyfulness, with tabrets, right? What is that? Tambourine, that's what I said, tambourine, right? So, qua, qua, it's right. It's because I remember this tambourine. And the instrument of music, including that stuff. What is that?
Speaker.
Did you turn your speaker on these few meetings? Did you turn your speaker louder these few meetings? No? Did you? No. Did you turn that speaker louder in these few meetings? Since yesterday or something, it become boom, boom, become much stronger. And my hearing is not outstanding. That seems the first sign gets to me now I'm old. Even that I can hear, boom, boom. So I wonder, oh, how the young people feel. But maybe you get used to it, so you don't care. You say, people say, oh, it's so loud. You say, yeah. Remember, the Bible did recall. The women come out with tambourine. So brother, sister, bring your tambourine into the church meetings. Which is biblical. And when you are ready, just and see, qua, qua, that the Lord is good, qua, qua. Just taste and see, qua, qua, that the Lord is good, qua, qua. Woo! Oh, he's good for you, qua, qua, and good for me, qua, qua. So what? So whatever you do, just taste and see. How enjoyable that is. Rather than the holy hymn. Holy, 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 God's almighty. There's nothing wrong. You should enjoy it. But you realize, huh? Music instrument is crucial. I tell you the interesting part. Psalm 1, one day one brother quoted Psalm 1 yesterday, I forgot whom. And then I told him, oh no, you go too far. Because that is not a good psalm. It's a beginner young man's psalm, right? Until they grow to Psalm 150, nothing but instrument. All kind of instrument. Hi-fi, is that, do you say that? No. I mean, today. Is there something called hi-fi? What does hi-fi mean?
Stereo sound.
Yeah, hi-fi means. Brother, enjoyed it. Don't let people bother you. Let them say, if the people talk to you about it, say, call Titus. Don't talk with me. I'm just a young brother. What do I know? Do you get my point or not? I'm just a young brother. Go call Titus. I tell you, anyone call me, I'll quote him many verses, tell them, brother, even brotherly told us how crucial are these things. What are you doing? Say we're wrong? Because you are dead. You should be alive.
Amen.
Brother, I like it. I like it. I like it. I like it. What? I like all the women come out with joyful. I don't like what they say, David and Saul. You know what? If they came out without David, without Saul, just came out, you know what? God is good. Quah, quah. God win the victory. Quah, quah. Oh, the mighty army of Jehovah. Quah, quah. Oh, the Israelite people. Quah, quah. How good that is.
Amen.
No, they made a mistake. Titus good. Now you're in trouble. Don't mention names so much. I tell you, the recovery has a habit of mentioning names. Don't mention names so much. Not worth it. None of them is worth it. Eventually we'll find out David's not worth it. But anyway, they're coming out right. Even their celebrations out is right. So David enjoys something. The Bible says, they welcome King Saul and David. And even at the end they said what? They said, to meet King Saul, right? Now, and the woman came out of all city of Israel, singing and dancing. I like these kind of meetings. Singing and dancing. What? To meet King Saul with tambourine, with joy, and with instruments including 2,000 years later hi-fis. Not 2,000. Yeah, 3,000. 3,000. 3,000 years later, high fast. Well, brother, don't get overly emotional, but enjoy the music. And don't be bothered. Brother, this is very biblical. Very, very biblical. Do you get my point? You can see how happy they are in joyfully living before the Lord and joining that victory. Then secondly, it's so good. He playing the harps for King Saul to chase away the evil spirit. Then thirdly, he becoming a captain. A captain of 1,000. It's a big army. How old is he? I think he's 20. A 20-year-old young man. Ben, don't tell people young you are young anymore. It's a shame. Listen, here's a young man at the age of 20 because he was chosen. Because he was trained, because we really treasured the anointing, anointed. You know what I mean? Then he was what? Getting approvedness. So now, after that, after he played the harps, Saul made him a captain. A captain of 1,000. And behaving wisely with the presence of Jehovah. So the Lord was with him. His 1,000 men is about being a regiment, like today's colonel. You know, a regiment. The army changed now, even more modern now, because it's no longer a rifle, it's a finger. You touch something, zoom, something. So we don't know how it goes now. In the past, a rifle, you know, a regiment commander have 1,000 men. It's a colonel. So he become a colonel, not yet a general. But I'm not quite sure they have general. Remember later they talk about the seating. The seating, there's just 4 or 5 seats. One for David. So he must be a high captain. A captain of 1,000 behave wisely with the presence of the Lord. When he managed to take care of his regiment, his 1,000 men, he was so wise before Jehovah. The Lord was with him. Then, even something more wonderful. Married, is this Michelle? Michael, is that Michael? Because I know a brother, his daughter's name is Michael. I think it could be this one. Anyone know how to pronounce it? Including all your PhDs? Pardon?
Michael.
Okay. Mary Michael, the daughter of Saul, by killing 200 Philistines. I mean, think about it. First, the country says, wow, David killed 10,000. And secondly, every time he's there, the king is peaceful. You know what I mean? The demon chased out. Thirdly, he got his own army now, right? He has 1,000 people under his control. And fourthly, he become the king's son-in-law. Isn't that he? Does he enjoy a lot? Brother, you should treasure that. Enjoy. When you were young, you should fight for manifestation. So you don't want to become a daughter of the king because there's no king anyway. So the daughter of Saul, by killing 200 Philistines, it's interesting, huh? When he was enjoying success, actually he was being trapped, right? Firstly, Saul says, whosoever killed Goliath, right? I will marry my daughter, not Michal, but what? Misa or something. Huh? Marry the other daughter, older sister. Marry the older sister. I think her name is Misa or something. I don't know how to pronounce Chinese Misa. Mira. 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 Whatever. I will marry a daughter to him. Maybe that girl is not that pretty. Or that girl is too old for David. You know what I mean? So David was just a very young man. So he looked at the girl and by chance they were in the meeting together. They were singing hymns. They looked at each other. It really sparks. So, the girl began to say, "Oh, I really love David." And David says, "Oh, I really want to marry her." Then Saul says, "What's very good? Very good. Go kill 200 Philistines. Because most likely you got killed by them." Do you get my points? Number one. Number two, in case you really made it, I know my daughter. My daughter loved me. That was wrong. When my daughter get married, he loved her husband much more than me, and which is right. Do you get my? But the father would always deny this. Sister, do you know that? Your sister loved Jose more than... Once I said that, her tear came out. I said, "Why you cry?" She said, "I feel so sorry for my father." I appreciate that. Thank you. Because you give many fathers some comfort. You know, all the fathers like the daughter, you know, just love them all their life. And for some reason, in God's ordained way, once a girl gets married, they love her husband more than father. I don't know, what can I do? She likes to be with you and not me. I have no way to get out of it. I can try to struggle, and it doesn't work. But Saul was stupid enough to think, okay, when she married him, my daughter loved me, so I just tell my daughter, watch him. Watch him. You know, I can get David killed. But anyway, you see, Saul has his plot, but David enjoys something. Look how much he enjoyed. Number one, he was manifested. Number two, he can chase out demons. Number three, he has an army. Number four, he became the son-in-law of the king. And number five, his name being honored and respected. People talk about him. When people are like, "Nathan." I like it, Nathan. So honor yourself. You know why you grow a beard? Something dissatisfying. Am I right? Say no, please. Now I'll be happy. No, and then I'll be happy. I just speak what Brother Lee says. I didn't say it. Brother Lee said, you know, you grow a beard because there's something. Well, so I repeat Brother Lee, and he doesn't make mistakes. You know Nathan? How good that is. Detroit talk about Nathan. Oh, such a good brother. Cleveland talk about Nathan. Oh, what a good brother. Do you get my point or not? Among the churches, people know there's a good brother. His name's Nathan. You know, David was like that. He was so manifested, so manifest to the point that he was honored and respected as he behaved more prudent than all the servants of the soul. There must be many captains. Remember, sometimes they can come together 300,000. So how many captains they would have to have an army that big? Each captain is 1,000, right? So there's 300 captains. Out of 300 captains, he's the one so manifested. People know he's wiser than others, yet he was only 20. Do you appreciate that? So young brother, don't look down at you. Are you ready? So when you have all these five excellent things, so the good things are happening now. the real stuff. All these previous are flowers. Flowers for decoration so that you can give a good testimony. Now you become a tree. Now he's becoming a tree. Huh? The experience of escaping. Firstly, we need to read some verses. Firstly, he escaped to Samuel, then not finding protection. And secondly, he escaped to Jonathan. You see, he escaped all kind of ways. Escaped to Jonathan, the son of Saul, knowing that Saul sought after his life. He went to Jonathan. Jonathan cannot help him. He went to Samuel. Samuel cannot help him. Then he went to Jonathan. Jonathan cannot help him. Then he passed by Nob, right? High place, receiving 5 loaves of shewbread from the priest, Ahimelech, which means brother of king. So he got some comfort from those who serve the Lord. Then point four, he take refuge. Then he went to a Gentile king. Take refuge with what? How to pronounce that word? Asish, whatever that is, right? And the king of Gath, right? Then that is Philistine. He went to Philistine. Remember, I draw the picture to you. They were very narrow, very limited. Here's the sea. So here's the wilderness. Then here you have Ammonites. And here you have Philistines. So basically their operation is just in this small place. Very small, tiny country. They have no ability to do what the Lord has commanded them to do. No ability. So so he went out to Philistines, ran to him, then what? Have been forced to feign himself mad. Do you remember? He was one play harps so the mad king can become normal. Now he has to pretend to be mad even though there's no demon. How sad that is. Look at this. I went to the one as my source, Samuel, nothing. I went to my friend, nothing. I went to God, I can only get some comfort, but no refuge. Do you get my point? So I went to Gentiles. How about I go to get a job? Then the job will force you to pretend to be mad. Is that good? Well, we have to go a little bit slow about this. Escaping to Samuel, not finding protection. It's a very interesting story. Can you to turn to 1 Samuel? 1 Samuel chapter what? Chapter 19. 1 Samuel chapter 19. Verse 1. And Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants, that they should kill David, right? Then verse 8. And there was a war again. And David went out and fought with Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. So David won victory again as a captain. Now he operates as a captain. Then, and the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul. Isn't that interesting? Seems Saul cannot win victory. Every time Saul won victory, evil spirit came. Could you believe in that? If you read the previous verse, okay, if you read chapter 18, the same thing. Chapter 18, verse 7. Right? And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his 1,000 and David his 10,000. Come, come, come. Right? After that, and Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000 and to me they have ascribed but thousands. So it's not bad, it's thousands. Well, 1,000 can be 20, 30, 40,000. Do you get my point or not? So I don't know. His mathematics must be pretty poor. So he said, I can only kill thousands. What can he have more but the kingdom? Now he got everything, right? So he's going to replace me. Right after he has a thought, I'm going to keep what God has given to me. Because he was anointed, right? Right after he had such a thought, you know what's happened? Verse 10, and came to pass on the morrow. That means the second day. On the second day, the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. Isn't that interesting? Every time a brother gives a good message, evil spirit come upon another person. Oh, don't think I'm joking. Brother, I know what I'm talking about. Jealousy is such a matter among men. You know, you young girls, if I tell you, oh, you are so beautiful, the other two. Oh, you are so beautiful too. I mean that. Everyone look at the mirror. On the whole globe, who can be more beautiful than I? Maybe my eyebrows are not so good, but my eyesight is marvelous. My nose a little bit flat, but how beautiful is my mouth? Amen. You know, jealousy is really something. So the previously, right, was 1,000, 10,000, demon come again, right? Evil spirit come again. Now, David won the victory, and the evil spirit, verse 9 of 19, evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand, and Saul sought to him, right, to kill him. So what? So at the end of verse 10, and David fled and escaped that night. You know, so he went, he left the palace, went home. And Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. In other words, you know, he went to his home. Saul had all the people surrender the house. So the second day when he walked out, they would kill him. So David was very much in danger. Huh? In the morning, to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, somehow like that, David's wife told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. I tell you, here's something I don't understand, because Bible is not too easy to understand. This you understand, right? So wife knows it. So told him, well, remember the father says, I'll use my daughter to tie him up so I can kill him. And the daughter married, changed her heart to not love the father as a husband. Still love the father. I know that. Rose still loves me. No problem. But not as much as the husband. Of course, now the husband gets jealousy too. You know why? Because she loves the daughter. Your daughter the most now. Do you realize that? You are the second. The father is the third. If you got another son, the father will become the fourth. And you will be the third. But anyway, so the wife says, oh, now they're going to come to kill my husband. So he told him, he said, if you save not your life tonight, tomorrow you will be slain, you'll be killed. So Michal let David down through the window. Who else goes through the window or the wall? Paul. Not Jesus. Jesus walked through them. It's very interesting. Jesus never walked out through the window because he's the Son of God. When people want to kill him, he said, you want to kill me? Here I am. Come on. And he walked through them. And nobody dared, nobody even dared to touch him because he is the Lord. But anyway, this shows David and the Apostle Paul, no matter how great their servant of the Lord, they are still men. So they escaped through the window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image. This part bothers me. Do you understand? Maybe your brother can help me. How come in David's house there's image? Didn't God say it very clearly? There should be no image, and you shouldn't make any image. So I have sympathy to those who said, if there's a good antique, you should sell them because they're worth a lot of money. Because image is image. It seems you just can't get away from it. But God hates it. Even though God hates it, the image saved his life. It's hard to believe. Okay. The image can also be the word Teraphim. What is teraphim? It's the image, right? Idol. So they took an image and laid it on the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for and so forth. And Saul says, "Head over," and they found out it's just an image. So he escaped. Am I right? So Saul says, "Where did he go?" So he went to Samuel. It's very normal, right? When you have problems, you go to elder, don't you? So you first go to the brother you feel should be able to help you because they are the one supposed to support you. So very logic for David. First say, let me go to Samuel because Samuel anointed me. So Samuel may have a way to protect my life. You know, brother, Samuel can only perform miracle but cannot save his life. It's a very interesting story, right? So verse 18. David fled, escaped, and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all what happened and so forth. Then Saul found out. So verse 20, and Saul sent messenger to take David. And when he saw the company of prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as a point over them. You have to orchestrate the whole thing, take care of the meeting, right? And while he was taking care of the meeting, Spirit of God was upon the messenger of Saul, and they all prophesied. So those who were sitting by Saul tried to catch David. They all become prophets. And I think the prophesy means David will be king, believe it or not. It didn't recall. Prophet what? You know what? It wouldn't be a prophet. You'll have lunch. You'll have bread. You'll have banana bread. You'll have... No, the prophet must be related to the country. So that prophet must be, eventually the throne will go to king, David will be king, and so forth. So Saul get upset, right? I sent you to kill him, and you declare he's a king. And the messenger says, I can't help. I got in and the spirit's upon me. I speak what I don't know. Okay, so Samuel says, you useless messenger. Verse 21, do you like the story or not? I realized the story. When it was told Saul, he sent another messengers, another group. And they prophesied likewise. They also go there. They also begin to say, David will be king, Israel. So Saul get real upset. So Saul sent messengers. This is verse 21. Again, the third time. And they prophesied also. So none of his people worked. Because Samuel is able to perform something, I would say, really miraculous. How can this guy become prophet? Isn't that a miracle? These are armor bearers, you know, the very rough guy. Possible very immoral. Because soldier's life is very rough. But they all get there and they all become prophet. Verse 22, that's most sarcastic. Then he, that means Saul, also to Ramah, he says, I'll go myself to get him. This time, let's see what's happened. So he went to Ramah and came to the great well that is in this place. And he asked, where's Samuel and David? And the other guys told him, it's in another place. Verse 23. And he saw when Caesar to this place in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon Saul also. I always feel, God, how come you are so humorous? I love him. You know I love him. Why I love him? Not just because he's powerful, he's wise, he's lovely, also because he's so humorous. And he's so humorous to all your life. At the end you say, Lord Jesus, so funny to follow you. It's such a humorous matter. I mean, think about it. Here, David was scared, right? Trembling there, hiding. And Samuel was before him, was trembling too. Because Samuel doesn't have any army. All what he can do is he can make you prophesy. So every time he says, speak! David will be king, David will be king. And then wake up, what did I say? We better go back. Another group come. You know, David gets scared, right? And Samuel was there scared too. But he can't do a thing. He can't orchestrate a meeting, right? He said, speak. Then David is king. 3 times. Then Saul came. When Saul came, you think how many people followed him? How many generals follow him? I think David sitting there, it's over. Now, finally, he looked at Samuel. Why have you anointed me? Leave me alone to be with some sheep. I'll be happy. you see what you get me involved. And Samuel was shivering too, scared. Because remember, Samuel even said to God, if you ask me to anoint David, he's going to kill me. Right? So he knows. Now here he come, right? The king come with a big, I don't know how many followers was with him. The horse or army, you can say, boom, 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 boom. Right? And Samuel was ready. I'm going to perform the miracle again. Can't believe it. So when this army come, he says, speak. Isn't God humorous? You say God? Sorry, if I say that, Lord, forgive me. Should he say God? Are you nuts? God, oh my God. Why do you just let Samuel fall down from the horse and let the horse trap him dead? It's all over, right? Saul. Why don't you let Saul fall down from the horse? And let the horse get upset and mad and trample on him. Then they look at him, he died. They all go to David. Oh, David, you should be our king. It's all over. Do something simple. Why have you to make things so complicated? Could you believe in that? I think about this picture. I begin to laugh. I tell the Lord, Lord, I love you. I cannot but love you. No one is as wise as you are. He will tell you, well, I want to train David to know nothing he can trust but me.
Amen.
So I anointed you. Saul is the judge, the priest, and the prophet. But he cannot save you. Only I, God, can be your savior.
Amen.
He's training David through the persecutions, maturing David, cause him to be mature. Otherwise, everything with him is too natural. Too natural. Think about it. I can kill Goliath. You know, I can play harps, right? I can be the captain. I can even marry a king's daughter. And I can be prudence. I'm manifest to be so prudent. I'm all the captain. I'm David. God says, are you David? Yeah. Are you ready? Yeah. Tonight, I'll let you have it. That night, he escaped. Do you get my point or not? You think you enjoy anything, but nothing's for you to enjoy. Only God himself is your portion.
Amen.
So eventually, he went to Samuel. God is also humorous. Basically, Samuel should have told him, right, David, I can help you. I tell you, if you stay here longer, I'll be killed too. Isn't that true or not? He should be honest, but Samuel was a royal person. In other words, he said, okay, I anointed you. Whether it's a mistake, whatever, the Lord has told me to do it, I do it. So I do something, see if I can protect you. And he really did it, right? Four times. The first group coming, he says, speak. They all, oh, praise the Lord, Israelites, hallelujah, his testimony. Oh, David shall be king. According to Saul, they're all nonsense, right? So they went home. Another group, speak. A third group, speak. Even Saul began to speak. And the description was pretty ugly. That was ugly. If I read the verse, you can't believe it. And then Saul, verse 22, right, went to this place. And verse 23, went thither to Naoth, right, in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also, and he went on and prophesied. You know how long he prophesied? Until he came to, verse 24, and he stripped off his clothes. He's so released, so filled in spirit, whatever that is. So he's beyond himself, stripped off his clothes also, and prophesied before Samuel in like manner and lay down naked all that day and all that night. He must have prophesied until Jerusalem, New Jerusalem is built. It should take how many hours? 24 hours speaking one thing after another, one thing after another. It's from God. Yet from a naked man. I wonder you understand the spiritual meaning. So here you see an instrument. An instrument God used. God has no affection to the instrument. God has no care to the instrument. God has no expectation to the instrument. Yet God says, I will humiliate you, treat you only as an instrument and not even a human being. I will let you be naked 24 hours, day and night, on the floor, ugly, yet at the same time, speaking things of God. Oh, brother, I couldn't tell you how deep that is. I feel sorry. I told the brothers, I wish we could have 10 months to study David. Because every story, there are so much spiritual principles. God, we think, oh, I'm prophesying. God says, are you naked? Oh, I speak for the Lord. God says, are you on the ground? Do you get my point? Oh, Lord, really anoint me this morning. God says, do you know what you're talking about? Everything he said, Bible says, is a prophecy. In other words, what he said is true. They didn't say they all speak nonsense. They really speak spiritual things. Yet the speaker has no value before the Lord. So, and there, and all night, wherefore they say, is Saul also among the prophets? Because he did so much. Look like he become a real prophet. So there's a saying among Israelites, is he a prophet? Do you get my point? Now, after that, of course, he awake, so awake and realized, God is here, I better be careful. So he went back. You know the interesting part, huh? He went back without the changing of heart. If I were so laying there 24 hours, naked, after I wake up, in other words, I come back to who I really am, right? Then I put on the clothes, I begin to consider, God is really here. I better be careful. Then he would ask Samuel, right? Samuel, please let me see David. I like to make a truce. Do you get my point? I'm sorry to David. No record of this. After that, he just feels so ashamed. What? And the people tell him, you were naked. I was naked. Yeah, you speak a lot. I spoke a lot. What do you do? Oh, you were. And he says, let's go. No change of the hatred. Well, you know, I speak about the conference principle now. You like to have a meeting after meetings. To me, I would tell David, David is pretty safe. He's pretty safe. Whosoever wants to get you, just let Samuel stand up and speak, then you're protected. Do you get my, isn't he pretty safe? Four times now. Right? Three times by the messengers of Saul. The fourth time is Saul himself. So, you're pretty safe now. But David says, no, no, no. Now I realize miracle can come on time, but miracle cannot be constant. Consistent is? Which is the word? What does consistent mean? Yeah, cannot be consistent. Yeah, cannot be consistent. In other words, well, Samuel, it's too tired for you, too tired for me. We're hiding someplace. We're hiding someplace. Right? Now, every time people come, you just say, speak, and they all go, it's over. Everybody sweat. Praise the Lord, it's over. The Lord has saved us. Then the time, oh, God, they speak. Oh, Lord, you saved us. So eventually, he realized, no, this doesn't work. I better go. He still has a thought. He still has a thought. Maybe so. After that very instance, being naked, prophesying, laying on the floor for 24 hours, for day and night, right? So it should be 24 hours. That should make Saul realize how ugly it is to persecute David. So he says, let me go to Jonathan. They are good friends, right? When David killed Goliath, Jonathan began to really like him. The Bible says their heart to each other. They love each other, right? And the Bible even said Jonathan loves David more than his own life. Really love David. So he doesn't care if he should be the king, if he should be king or not. He rather to say David to be the king. Such a pure man. Well, anyway, he said, let me go to see. That's his good friend. The one who's supposed to protect me cannot know. So how about let's go see my good friend. So he escaped to Jonathan, the son of Saul, mainly to find out after that instance, did gradually Saul have a change of heart? He could, right? Because after that instance, if I were Saul, for sure I'd go back and think a lot. Eventually I'll say, it's not worth it. Do you understand the word, it's not worth it? People always fight, it's worth it. You understand what I'm talking about? Man's whole life is it's worth it. I must make it. I must win. I must be top. Yeah. Young girl, young sister, you must be a good student, aren't you? I think you are. Are you fighting for A's? Yeah. A. My daughter told me, Dad, all my year from first grade to senior high school, I never get a B. I said, you go that far? I didn't know that. Had I known it, I'll tell him, daughter, get some B's. It's too pressure, not worth it. Do you get my point or not? Not worth it. They fight so hard. Now my daughter has a good job, make a lot of money. You know what I told her? Just about all the time, daughter, it's not worth it. You have to work 10-hour, 12-hour a day, not worth it. Making the money, not worth it. You know, men live by that worth it. So according to David, David thought, well, maybe Saul would wake up and begin to consider, it's not worth it. Look how ugly it has become. He's my son-in-law, right? Basically, he saved Israelites. And basically, he's very faithful to me. He never did anything rebellious, right? Whether my son will be a king or not, leave him alone. If Jonathan should be the king, God will make it. If God doesn't make it, David will be the king. Maybe neither will be the king. Lord will raise somebody else to be the king. It's not even worth it. But all the struggling come to, it worth it. So David thought it's very logical, right? I go to see Jonathan. Let Jonathan talk with, brother, I tell you my problem now. I shouldn't tell you a story like this because we cannot cover the outline. But don't you realize I must do it? Otherwise, you have no idea why it's so. So David saw this. Let me go to Saul, go to Jonathan, to find out from Saul. Maybe Saul began to wake up and began to say, it's not worth it. Then isn't that good? He went to Jonathan. Jonathan says, oh, we're waiting for you here. Finally, you come. My dad is totally changed. Do you get my point or not? Then how good that will be. But Jonathan says, well, wait a minute. Let me find out from the father, right? Whether that or maybe I don't have to go that story. So eventually, is that where the seats? He was not sitting there, and he found it, and he got upset. So eventually, Jonathan told him, my father still wants to kill. So remember, whatever you want to trust cannot be your protection now. It's not bad to have such a life. Sister, you understand what I say? It's not bad to follow the Lord. Follow the Lord to the extent you know only the Lord I can trust. No longer just some brothers, no longer just some older ones, you know. Samuel cannot help you. Jonathan cannot help you. So what? He passed by Nob. This is a city of priests, a high place, receiving 5 loaves. This part is interesting because if Saul did it, God would be so upset. You are not qualified to eat this stuff. These are for priests. Do you get my point or not? And David eat it. God seems very happy. But whatever that is, I say that even the priest cannot help him. You know, he went there, the priest would say, wait a minute, David, don't go anymore. Remember, this is a city of priests. The whole city is a city serve God. No one dare to kill anyone in this city, including Saul. Just stay here. And the priest know, and David know, at this time, Saul is no longer the old Saul. He was possessed by jealousy. Jealousy took him over. Even the evil spirit can come. So he knows nothing works. So he was there. He gets 5 loaves of bread. Then finally, he came to, see, he says, let me go to Philistines. Now go abroad so that beyond where Saul is. So he went there. That was chapter what? Chapter 21. Can we turn to 21? Chapter 21. Start with what? Verse 10? Okay. And David arose and fled today that day, fled that day for fear of Saul. That is after Jonathan said, after the priest gave him the bread, to fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servant of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances? In other words, now you realize those who sing loudly, that David king kills 10,000, right? Only give him more problems, give him more troubles. Now he's famous. So you run there, they look, who are you? David, which David? You're the guy killed Goliath, right? You're the one that the woman dance and sing, you would kill 10,000, right? Isn't that the one? Where is that verse now? Verse 11, right? And did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, says, and so forth? This, I hate it. I really hate this. Brother, if the saints know how to not speak things like this, many servants will live much more peaceful. Many servants today live a hard time because young ones like to say, who kills more? And put them in trouble. And David laid up these words in his heart and was so afraid of Achish, the king of... Now he knows that I'm in trouble again. Because which king would tolerate this kind of general? If he would just escape there as a common man, they would just receive him, right? Okay, you have no way to stay in Israelites, you come to... So he went to the world. He was too famous. Do you get my point or not? One day, one of my friends invited me, says, if you mind, come to visit us. I said, I can, mainly because Brother Lee has his last word. We should be very open to Christians. So he went. The brother went back, and he gave me a call. I talked with many brothers. We rent a big hall. We will welcome you to have a message. They called me again. Brother Titus, you are too famous. They are afraid of you. Do you get my point or not? So even the name known by people, I tell you, it's not a blessing. So learn not to mention Titus and mention Christ more. But anyway, David heard this and he's afraid. And verse 13 is a sad story. And he changed his behavior before them. He became a different person. And feigned himself mad in their hands and scrap on the door of the gate and let his, spittle. Let his spittle fall down upon the beard. In other words, now I understand why Nathan wants to grow a beard so one day spittle can come down. at that time, they all have long beard, right? So he will purposely let the spittles come down. So he looks so dirty, so messy. And he puts things on the wall, everything. And then said Achish unto the servants, lo, you see the man is mad. Do you remember he was the one taking care of Saul? So Saul was mad. Now he has to pretend he was mad. I tell you, religion, the brothers you trust cannot help you, even though you should go to them. Do you get my? The brother very close, you're very close with, cannot help you, even though you should go to them. The priest cannot, those who serve the Lord cannot help you, even though they will give you bread. Even Gentile cannot help you. You have to pretend to be mad. In other words, you have to behave not acceptable. You try, if you try, you try to go to work with Gentile. If you behave that they accept they can accept you, then brother, let me tell you, huh? If you behave in that way, they can accept you, you got to drink. You got to entertain, into entertainment. You got to live a life that is not totally right. Do you understand what I say? So you have, among Gentiles, even you go to Gentiles, even Joseph say, this person is abnormal. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't drink. He doesn't go to theater. He doesn't go to dancing party. He doesn't go to a casino. Then what kind of life he has? Brother, eventually David tried everything and couldn't find anything. So eventually, we come to Roman numeral 3. Oh, I like it. So let's continue. If we go in this way, brother, we will be very, very slow. But do we have any choice or not? We still have how many minutes? 6 more minutes. 6, right? Huh? 6 more minutes. Let me ask you, are you able to last another 6 more meetings?
Amen.
Remember, I have told you, I said we can stop early. So I will prepare 6 more meetings. We'll still cover David. I don't know how we do it, but we'll find a way to do it. This part is very, very sad but attractive. The one who serves the Lord, this become a necessary experiences. Eventually, you have to know only God become your rest. That's experience he has in the cave of Adullam. Well, we stop the meeting here. Can one brother pray? Close the meeting for us.